Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews. We're like a book club for people who hate reading. This month we're doing grab bags, so I picked the movie Mr. Holmes, made in 2015. Ryan picked the TV show The Tick, Season 1, Episode 1. And this week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevenson, Ryan Preston. So here's a description of Mr. Holmes, 2015. An aged, retired Sherlock Holmes deals with early dementia as he tries to remember both his final case and a mysterious woman whose memory haunts him. He also befriends a fan, the young son of his housekeeper, who wants him to work again. I'm going to give this movie a 3.5 out of 5. Ian McKellen kills this role. I mean, it helps he's almost 91 himself, but... Yeah. Still, he nailed this role for me.
Yeah, and I give it an average on it, and I agree, although there was a couple times like he said home again, and I'm like, are you freaking really seriously saying home again, dude?
It was part of the dementia.
It must have been.
Hey, Ryan?
4.5.
Wow.
Yeah, no, you guys are going to be hard-pressed to talk me out of that shit.
He's high praise right now.
I got to say, I was really impressed with this angle. They usually don't do this. It's usually Sherlock Holmes at his peak or a little bit older or young Sherlock Holmes. I really love this angle of an older Sherlock Holmes who has dementia, who's trying to be himself, and I was really impressed by the way they did this. I give a lot of props to Bill Condon, who was the director of this.
You know, for me, like you said, Ian McKellen did a great job, but for me, the story dragged quite a bit. And I would have liked to have seen, not like action, I really don't need to see the action or things like that for a drama for me to be intrigued.
Good. I hope so, because it'd be like Indiana Jones and the Geriatric Crusade. Hell no.
But, you know, it was, I don't know, there wasn't much I really cared about.
I
didn't really care about anybody really in the film, even though, I mean, I know you're supposed to care about, kid's name was Roger, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, okay, yeah, get stung by a bunch of wasps.
You know,
okay, die. And it's not like I was being cold-blooded, but I'm just saying, you know, it's kind of like I didn't feel for any of those characters.
I will definitely agree that this movie dragged on parts. Parts definitely seemed to be a little longer than they needed to be. But on the other hand, I also appreciated that because I thought it helped the story along. And I didn't care about Holmes or Roger, but singly, but I cared about them together. It was the relationship. It was how Roger was helping Sherlock become him again. It was reaffirming to Sherlock how he needed people, which you later learn on he ran away because of what he did. He was kind of hiding from himself. He suffered from the same thing. The woman who
did. Yeah, I understand that.
I really liked the way those two played off. The fact that to Sherlock, the way I took it was Roger was basically a young version of him. Very inquisitive, very curious, very logic-based.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that, but I mean, I don't know. Ryan, I'm waiting for you to chime in here now.
For one, Ian,
make me care.
I mean, this was a master
piece,
class, and just subtlety. You know what I mean? Like the capacity that it has for emotion is kind of ridiculous. You know. It was hard for me to, like, right off the bat to see him not as Gandalf from as somebody read at least 3/4 of all of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's stories, you know, which is, I mean, God, there are probably 60 of them altogether. Yeah. But as a character that's been done so many times and the rights had you know, lapsed on it so long ago that there's been so many iterations, it's one of those stories that everybody can use the character of Sherlock Holmes and write a story and profit from it. So there's so many different iterations.
Ryan?
This, you know, please. Huh?
You broke up.
Did I lose you?
Yeah. I definitely agree with you. I love this. Is, to me, is a twist that has definitely come. I in my opinion, it was definitely needed. I do like how self-aware he was of his faculties disappearing. I loved how he struggled with it and how eventually he overcame it with the help of Roger. I thought that was a brilliant touch.
The character of Sherlock Holmes, see, if this were any other character, if this was just some guy who was going through this, I mean, I really probably wouldn't have cared either, but the idea of this guy who's basically, you know, just the most brilliant detective, or consulting detective, rather, you know, that ever lived, I mean, the way that his mind works is it was so unique and, you know, built up such a crazy reputation that it's like, oh, no, not, you, no, it's like the worst thing that can happen to him.
Yeah.
You know, he knows it's happening, and he's like, no, I was the sharpest tool in the shed. You know, there was nobody that was they could outwit me and all this, you know. So him kind of seeing these little things in Roger, and like you said, that relationship was unbelievably amazing.
And I actually think out of all the movies I've ever seen, which at this point is a lot, that was one of the few relationships I can remember watching that I actually cared about it. Like when the mother was moving away, going to move away, I'm like, no, don't you see? Sherlock Holmes needs you more than he you know, than you know. I was like, oh, God, this can't happen.
Hmm. Yeah, and I hated the mom for thinking, like, you know, he's like just going to get his heart broken or something like that when the old man dies, you know, instead of like letting him be around that kind of mind for as long as he can.
Yeah, I actually remember I was watching this with my wife and I had the same thought. It's just like, don't the mother doesn't see the fact that he's still around one of the smartest men who has ever lived, even if he's not at his peak. I mean, look what the kid learned just about bees.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
And I also love the point.
Well, Sherlock Holmes, one of the reasons I've always loved him is he's sort of the ultimate hobbyist. You know what I mean? He once wrote a paper on, I think, like 73 different types of cigar and cigarette ash.
Yeah.
Just to distinguish them at a crime scene, you know?
Excuse me. The other part I really liked was the conversation that his mom had. Was it Mrs. Monroe?
Yeah, I think so.
That his mom had with Roger about Roger's dad, how he hated his job. And the whole thing came around to me. It's like, then I was thinking, then you obviously should stay put because being around Sherlock Holmes is going to automatically going to make your kid better.
Well, but I think she was also kind of scared, you know, when it came out that she might've been, you know, sort of semi-illiterate, you know, might've just been like, you know, this isn't what I know. You know what I mean? Like, what I know how to take care of my boy is this, and this is getting off into a realm that I don't know how to deal with.
That makes sense, because I think that was almost at the tipping point where she started seeing Sherlock for who he really was. A grumpy old man, but cared more than he could actually. He couldn't show emotion. He was so logical that emotions didn't process well for him.
Well, that's what I was going to bring.
What I meant about the subtlety that he was playing towards the whole time is you know, a lot of the stuff, they didn't really go into, like, the lore and a lot of who Sherlock Holmes is.
Which I appreciated.
Sort of that he's talking this down. Really selfish guy.
Yeah, it wasn't talking down to the audience, is what I would put as.
Yeah, no, not at all. Not at all. It really just, all on his face, kind of just, his kind of disdain for feelings and you know, that sort of nature.
I did love the subtle jab his brother left at Sherlock.
Oh, the books.
That was the part that I thought was funny. That if anybody doesn't know, his brother was, according to the lore, was a lot smarter than Sherlock Holmes, was just lazy, more or less.
Yeah.
And so the subtle jab was, have you read the crap he wrote about you?
Yeah. Well, one of the things I was going to mention is what Ryan and John kind of hinted at is I appreciated the fact that they introduced you to a crotchety, cranky Sherlock Holmes. And what you guys really didn't get into is the fact that everything that, and they alluded to it in his conversation with the lady on the bench, is that everything was in his brain. He was very intellectual. He didn't really care about anybody or any of his clients personally. He was wanting to deduce everything about everyone. He didn't really care about the actual person. And that's what he related to with the woman.
I think the only part I would add to that was he also, for the first time, I think, acknowledged his loneliness.
Yeah.
But enough that he emotionally couldn't process it, but you could tell through the conversation that he was lonely and he needed people. But I think it wasn't till near his death when he realized those emotions he was having. Because he completely, yeah. I think because he completely forgot about it up until it was, you know, rejogged in his memory.
I think it was rejogged in his memory when he brought up that that Watson had left him and then came back when he was at the end, but then he left him again. And that was kind of the, I would say that'd be the breaking point of his attachment to people. And then he found out that he cared about the boy, and when the mom turned on him and he broke down crying and falling on the ground, trying to say, trying to explain to her, I actually do care.
I think him with the woman was almost the first time he'd sort of felt empathy, but kind of turned away from it.
Yeah.
You know, hence why he kind of went off into the woods.
Yeah.
You know, to live alone, was because it was like the one time where emotion would have saved.
Yeah.
You know, it would have solved the case, but he just went straight logic and it got the woman killed, essentially, is how he felt.
Yeah.
And I think that was the one thing about I really liked about this version of the character is it showed how much anal retentive, how much perfectionist he was, and how much emotion kind of removes his self-image of being a perfectionist.
Well, and like, how much it so far had made him the most brilliant detective was the dispassionate approach to everything. You know, just kind of looking at everything for the facts, much to the dismay of everyone else around him, you know?
The other thing I would add is if you contrast this to the Robert Downey version, who definitely is a lot more emotional, is more freewheeling, I'd say less intellectual, more intelligent. I love the differences in these two a lot, actually, because I think this version of Mr. Holmes is closer to the literary version than the other one. It's so close.
And I really like, the modern day Sherlock on BBC is a really, really amazing close approximation of the character. It really is just updated, you know, but same kind of behavior structure, a little less of the on the sleeve sociopath, but, you know, like abrasive and only appreciative of the people who want to understand him enough to put up with his bullshit.
Yeah. You
know, there's only been a couple of people who have ever done that.
Yeah.
I do love, talk about the one with Benedict Cumberbatch, how cruel he really comes across. There was a scene, I remember, it was a reporter or somebody, and he just downright was just completely dismantled her. And the way he did it. And that, to me, you're right. It was totally matching, I think, this Holmes.
Well, you know, look at the scene when he was doing the reading for Roger's mom. When he kind of finally started like gazing at her, his eyes almost went cold like a shark. You know, and he just started just picking out these details. He went straight up in the mode, you know.
Yeah.
The other thing I do want I think I talked about a little bit. I love the moments of clarity. Throughout most of this movie, up until the end, there was a hell of a lot more clarity. But in the most of this movie, there's these bits and pieces where Sherlock Holmes just is there. And he is this cold, calculating bastard. And there's a few minutes, and the rest of the movie, he's kind of this very humble, jerkish, you know, needs people. I loved seeing the different versions of this character.
Are you talking about like he mentioned where the mom and then when he dismantled the Japanese guy?
Yeah, well, because there's scenes with the mom, the Japanese guy. There's scenes with Milo where he was vulnerable or when he fell off the bed. There's like two or three versions of Sherlock Holmes in this movie. There's the younger with the last case. There's the old Sherlock Holmes, which pretty much couldn't do anything, very weak. And there was moments of an older Sherlock Holmes who was 100% there. Okay. You know, and I would say this movie probably has like at least two or three acts.
Well, I think a lot of it was just a Sherlock Holmes who was reflecting on his sort of deeds and the way he kind of conducted himself. you know, when he looked at that kid and said, you know, when he said, do you have regrets? And he said, so many, you know, like the horror on his face, you know what I mean?
I loved that part.
Like you can tell, like, there's so many things I would have done differently, you know, had I been this sort of aware. But, you know, the guy was 93 in the movie. So that's a lot of retrospection.
I got to say, part of me for really liking this movie, I think, is how much I love that retrospective look. I love seeing a character reflect upon his life. So much so that I think I'm going to revise my score a little bit, half a point. I'll give it a 4. I don't know if this movie has any rewatchability for me, but it's an amazing movie, and I think this is definitely a very good character study, turning the greatest detective into a very old guy. James?
I don't know. I think for me, I'm going to keep it where it is.
That a 3?
Yeah. I don't know. They're kind of on the fence of going up half a point, but I just think that, like you got with the rewatchability, I don't think is very much there. I think it's one that for Sherlock fans, you could sit down with them and show them this, but I don't know. I think it's more of like a middle ground, playing to a specific audience.
Brian?
I think he just fell off his chair and died.
No, I'm here.
What do you give it?
I broke up for a second there. No, I'm not revising shit. 4.5. I mean, the beautiful moments sort of coupled with just the absolute heartbreaking moments sort of because of the knowledge of the character. But no, this, I think it was really, really honorably done towards the source material and is definitely a great addition to, you know, the lore of Sherlock Holmes, you know, and I think that's what they were going after. So yeah, no, that's a.
So that being said, I'm going to hand it over to James. We did The Tick 2016, Season 1, Episode 1, and it's kind of a retelling, rehash of the live action and or cartoon. And James?
I don't know. When I see something and it's got some bitch like Whoopi Goldberg in it, it obviously goes downhill from there. I mean, really? You had to bring her into this? I mean, this was one of my favorite cartoons as a kid. And you gotta take it and destroy it like that?
I gotta admit, I didn't know he was hallucinating the tick the whole time.
Really?
In the cartoon? I never thought about that, no.
Jeez. But to go along with this, I actually want to see more of this show. This was put together by fans. There's no doubt in my mind. It was put together by fans.
Or you can tell. The only thing I'd say is this one's a hell of a lot more serious than the other live-action TV show was.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, this one, like, I looked it up, and I don't see any more episodes that is projected in the future. What the hell?
What Amazon does is they basically give a bunch of money, or not even a bunch of money, really just here is money to make a pilot episode. Amazon's the only one that does this, where they sort of allow the viewers the access to the pilot, and then based on the viewership of that one show, much like a network executive or five assholes in a fucking room would decide whether a show gets made, you know, the viewership decides, you know, if this gets enough views and enough people liking it.
So it's basically like when they did backdoor pilots. They would do a 2-hour movie, and if enough people gave enough good opinions about it, they turned it into a TV series.
Yeah, more or less, you know, like always with the intention of if this does X amount of numbers, we do a series based off of it. But so
did you get on there and vote?
Like, look, here's a 22-minute episode. Do we give these creators more money?
Yeah, they should. I mean, to be honest, Tick wasn't my favorite
character. He wasn't my all-time favorite superhero, but the cartoon show was... the cartoon was badass.
And this was really well done. This was
they nailed it.
This was a serious movie with a goofy role in the middle. It was just really well done. And
yeah.
And dude, they nailed it, man.
Oh, yeah, they really did. Yeah,
Peter Safanovitz, that dude is so damn funny.
Yeah. Oh, man. I mean,
his voice and the delivery, just the placement where he's looking in space when he says shit.
Oh yeah,
it's so fucking funny.
Oh yeah, it was really well done. So
which is hilarious because he actually always plays the heavy or just some asshole guard or something like that.
Yeah, so, I want to see this show.
So
man.
We give the tick a must see.
Amazon approve it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, Amazon, go on there, watch it, subscribe to Amazon Prime, and tell them to make more of that show.
And unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on which way you look at it, it's James's pick this week. So I'm assuming prepare for pain.
So yeah, you know, for the audience out there, I gave Ryan options. He went for option, I think, H is what he picked. I think that's...
I picked 8. He gave me the choice of 1, 2, 3.
That's the eighth letter. That's the eighth letter of the alphabet, people, is H. So I gave him A, B, or C, and he went up to H, 1, 2, or 3. Anyways, John's laughing his ass off over here. Anyways, so I'm picking 187.
Holy crap.
Oh, wow. Sam Jackson. What was that, 98?
No, I think it was sooner than that.
It might have been. I did not think you were going to pick that movie.
Nobody expects the 187. 97, actually. Yeah. Oh, wow, right.
Fucking in.
Anyway. Yeah,
almost nailed it.
And then the TV show is episode 1 of season 1 of 3%.
And that's a new Netflix show?
That is a new Netflix Netflix show. And it's,
I missed it. Was it?
3%.
The season one, episode one of 3%.
Yeah, and it's a Portuguese actual TV show for people.
Wow,
who don't
I don't believe you picked one. Wow. I haven't seen it in a while, but it's just... That's way out of the field. Ladies and gentlemen, I gave the movie Mr. Holmes a 4 out of 5. James gave it a 3 out of 5. Ryan gave it a 4.5 out of 5. Next week, we're doing the movie 187. And TV show for the week is episode 1, season 1 of 3%. And as always, thank you for watching.
Goodbye. We'll be right back.